G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
And returning to a military theme today, just as the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy, endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus and to fight the good fight. Well, our two special guests say as the enemy wages war against the Lord's army and the world hurls towards the second coming of Christ, God has a unique kingdom deployment for each of us. Well, their latest book is called Your Mission in God's Army, Discovering and Completing Your Faith-Filled Assignment Before Christ's Return. Two guests. The first one, U.S. Army Chaplain Colonel David Giamona, who had 32 years of military service, was responsible for over 1,000 chaplains around the world, had three tours of combat duty, and spent 4 years at the Pentagon. He's also considered an end-time expert, and he oversees what's called the Warrior Refuge in the U.S. and is president of the U.S.-based Battle Ready Ministries. Also joining us is Troy Anderson, a Pulitzer Prize-nominated investigative journalist and best-selling author. Among his books, Troy co-wrote the best-selling Babylon Code and Trumpocalypse. Let me make a special welcome, first of all, to you, David Giamona. Welcome along.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Thanks for having us tonight.
And Troy, welcome to you.
It's a great honor to be here, Neil. Thank you.
And thank you so much. It is evening where you are, David, in Georgia, Troy, in California, in the U.S. Well, the latest book is out, and your mission in God's army. Let me ask you first, David, because the way that the title sounds, it sounds like you're highlighting both the urgency of what is before us and the divine opportunity in these difficult days. David, your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Neil, for allowing me to speak. We wrote the book because in these end times, people are afraid, fearful of what to do and what to do in God's kingdom. And some want to run and hide. Some want to cower under the government. But, you know, God has a plan for all of us, and it's time for us really to work harder in the kingdom than ever before because the Lord is coming. So as a good soldier in God's army, what we're doing now is leading people and guiding them to say, hey, this is your mission, and your mission is to hear the Holy Spirit, read the Word of God, and do what God is asking you to do before the coming of the Lord. And so we use a lot of military terms, but we explain those terms to people very readily. And, of course, the Bible is full of war language because we are in war. There are spiritual forces. As everybody here knows, the darkness has been unleashed on the planet, and now we've got to get ready, combat ready, and we have to understand our assignment in these end times is to please the Lord and to do what the Lord has asked us to do before that great and glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me come to Troy. There's an interesting development around things that have been happening in recent years, and there'd be some Christians who'd be a little concerned with even aligning with the thought of military tactics and such things because Christian soldiers are not called to take up actual weapons of war in the sense of rifles and guns, but there's a certain sense in which you can't get away from the biblical terminology that there is soldier mentioned in the scriptures, and so many of us will be familiar with the old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. There is a military aspect here, but do you find that sometimes you come up against people who say you really shouldn't be aligning our Christians with battle-ready soldiers? Thoughts from you, Troy?
Yeah, Neil, if you read the Bible is full of all these battles, all these heroic battles, how God just sort of uses regular people to accomplish his purposes. In fact, there's a great Bible verse in Exodus 9:16 says, I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So the Bible talks about this great spiritual war that we're all involved in between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And we're especially seeing this today. I mean, there's like a recent Lifeway poll said even 9 in 10 pastors now see signs of the end times and current events. And everything we've seen the last few years, we want to encourage people with this book and the other books we've written to join God's army. To, you know, because the Bible talks about Jesus coming back on a white horse with the armies of heaven, the hosts of heaven. And that language is used throughout the Bible. And so we're in a great war, and it's a battle for souls. It's a battle to help bring in the great harvest. You know, there's verses of Revelation that talk about potentially this great revival that might occur before the tribulation or certainly during the tribulation. And Jesus said the fields are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. So we want to encourage more Christians to become laborers to help bring in the harvest, share their faith, join God's army. It's an exciting time to be a believer, and God has many assignments and missions for all of us.
You raise some really amazing points there, because when we think of Jesus, the images that we have in the four Gospels, not necessarily militarized, but the revelation images, the last book of the Bible, Jesus the warrior, there is a real alignment, isn't there, with the military, with God being a warrior himself, the call for Christian believers to have some sort of a militaristic style attitude to a battle, which we sometimes talk about as a spiritual battle. David, what are your thoughts? Jesus the warrior, is there a concern there? Is this something we all ought to be aspiring to, a militarized campaign in the sense of the way that Christians do warfare?
Well, you know, Neil, it's a great point. Book of Revelation really is the end time Jesus. The Jesus is coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to be with him and riding white horses in a great army. And when he crushes the Antichrist here in the end. So there is a lot of spirituality and warfare going on. As we know, I mean, we're talking about what has happened in previous years and now, and the spiritual darkness. And so the Bible says, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, to put on the full armor of God. And there is warfare going on here, and it's no longer Christ in the gentle white robes and doing good as he did in the first time. No, it's his resurrection, his power, and he's empowering now us to stand up and fight the good fight, because the time is short. And so we are now called to be a part of the battle group that the Lord is putting together in the end times to put together a force that will battle the forces of evil. And so we have prayer as our weapon. We have the Word of God as our weapon. And we're asking Christians around the world to really understand their assignment and to win the lost and reflect the love of Christ before the end comes in all his glory.
Prayer, the Word of God, and some will be quick to add the words of our testimony when we talk about the weapons of our warfare. Troy, what are your thoughts here? Because when we've identified that we're called to be, in some ways, there aligned with God's army, and that there are weapons of warfare and a spiritual battle, and that also has a face-to-face component of it. Your book is described as like a hands-on manual. So when we've recognized how the weapons work, what are your thoughts for the way we might use those weapons in the day-to-day lives that we have?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is the key to walking through the end times is drawing close to God and learning how to walk in the supernatural power, protection, and provision of the Holy Spirit. And so one of the key things is prayer. You know, prayer is the most powerful force in the universe because you're asking God to intervene in human affairs. And the Bible tells us that he will. We're two or more gathered. He hears what we're saying. And if it's within his will, he'll do it. And so you see example after example throughout the whole Bible of God intervening in miraculous ways, like the Apostle Paul. He talks about being beaten and all kinds of shipwrecked, all kinds of terrible things that happened to him. God even resurrected him at one time. And so that's going to be the key as we move into the end times and all kinds of different things happen. The Bible talks about the book Revelation. Drawing close to God is the key. Prayer, Bible reading, fellowship. And like I even keep a journal of things that seem miraculous in nature. So I pray, and I have this log, and it's now like, you know, 150 pages of miracle after miracle. And so it strengthens your faith, like a prayer journal. And so those are things you can do to walk in the supernatural power, protection, and provision of the Holy Spirit as we move further into the end times.
David, your military background, and, you know, in charge of 1,000 chaplains, and you've been on 3 tours of duty. Let me ask you about some things here, because if you don't have some sort of alignment with some ideas about being in a battle, then somehow you can easily just drift along without a whole lot of purpose. The image comes to mind for me of you know, leaders in a war room and talking tactics and making plans, issuing orders. What are your thoughts here for how this all sort of practically works if you're in a military sense, and how you might be looking at your own assignment?
Well, that's a great question. And we have lots of quotes throughout our book about that particular question. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, "The weapons we fight are not with the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So in the military, our weapons were demolishing physical strongholds, and we had tactics, we had plans, we had training. And in the spiritual world, we also have training. We are, a lot of Christians now, Neil, are not really following the Word of God, not reading, don't have a biblical worldview. We're asking people to get back into the Word and understand that the power, as Troy said, the power of our prayer, the power of the weapons that God has given us are strong and can demolish strongholds. And so, yes, I've been under great military leaders, and what we need today is great spiritual leaders that will stand up and not worry about what the world tells us or the government tells us, but their one purpose is, what does God tell us? He said, Jesus, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples, and then the end will come when that mission is accomplished. So our mission right now, the top mission for every Christian, is to go out and make disciples, witness with the word of our testimony by the blood of the Lamb, and bring them in, because the time is short. So much to talk about here, but so little time.
You know, Troy, when we think of a military way of living out our Christian faith, some are going to be leaders and some are going to be followers. Is there something about the disciplines of a good soldier that actually make the whole thing work together instead of everyone doing their own thing? Any thoughts from your book, the sorts of things that you and David obviously sit around the table a lot and talk through, these sorts of things, the disciplines of a good soldier? What does it look like?
Yeah, so in helping the colonel write these 3 books, the Military Guide to Armageddon, The Military Guide to Disarm and Deception, and now your mission in God's Army. The first book was originally called The Making of a Warrior, and the title got changed. But in the military, there's this process of how do you turn a civilian into a soldier. And so in a biblical sense, I've sort of gone through that same kind of process over the last several years of learning how to become a better soldier for Christ, you know. So it's about staying in the Word. It's about prayer. It's about fellowshipping. But it's also about the Holy Spirit. There's a very powerful quote from a famous evangelist from the 1800s, Charles Finney. He wrote this great book called Power from on High. And he said, "The baptism of the Holy Ghost, this thing promised by the Father, this gift of power from on high, Christ expressly informed us is the indispensable condition of performing the work which he set before us." So that is the key to being a good soldier of Christ is to draw close to the Holy Spirit, learn how to hear the Holy Spirit in our lives, and he will perform all kinds of amazing miracles and transformations to accomplish the purposes that God has for us. And the Holy Spirit will show you, you know, throughout your life, if you simply ask God, what is my assignment? What is my mission? What have you called me to do for the foundations of the world? And if you say that simple prayer, God will show you. I guarantee it, because I said that prayer many different times, and the Lord has opened all kinds of different assignments, and he has assignments for all of us. We all have different talents and abilities, and he has different assignments for all of us that are part of his plan. So that's the key, is to draw close to the Holy Spirit.
Colonel David Giamana, my suspicion is that men really relate to the things that you write, and this thought of being a soldier. Some even say there's something like a feminization of the church. Is a call to a sort of militaristic ideal of your Christian faith, is this something you think that men need to grab a hold of? Because we talked about, didn't we, what was going on in the Old Testament, all the battles, all the warriors. There's a certain warrior spirit that we might even see even in the children of Israel. Thoughts here for how men really relate to the things you write?
Yeah, I do have a lot of men that love what we're talking about here. And, you know, in God's order, I know the world doesn't want to hear this, but in God's order, the man is the leader of the household. He should love his wife. He's married as Christ loved the church. So men are attracted to this mindset of being a leader. We have a saying in the military, you can't be a great leader until you're a great follower. So we're asking men around the world to take up arms and be a follower of Jesus Christ, to get aligned with his purposes as our supreme commander and protector. And yes, men are called by God to do this. And not that women don't have a place. They do. And we have women in our military. That's not in question. But the question is, do men love what we're talking about? Yes, because I think God has put in us his spirit. And God himself is a warrior, and we're all fighting alongside the Lord in this great fight against spiritual oppression around the world. So I think you're exactly right. Yes, men do love what we're talking about. We have lots of men that are attracted to our books, to our seminars, and our conferences.
Let me stay with you, David, because as an end times expert, and there's division even within the listeners and followers of Christ around how that all looks. But there's a certain sense in which there are so many events that are happening around the world right now. How are you reflecting on world events? You've got war with Russia and Ukraine. You've got war in the Middle East, Israel and versus Hamas in Gaza. What are your thoughts for the developments around the world and how things look as an end time scenario?
Well, you know, we're coming up on the eclipse here in America in April. Is very telling. And God uses the heavens to tell us, you know, what is about to happen. I really believe the world is in a breaking point. We have been warned and warned and warned. And now, yes, from a military perspective, we have China, the possibility of invading Taiwan. We have the Middle East, and we have Persia, which is Iran, in the Bible, all through it, and the Bible says that's a big end times event. We have Israel, who was established in 1948, and all these things are pointing to the coming of the Lord with the geopolitical alignment of nations coming on. The world, even the U.S. now, is shaking in its support of Israel because of the war that's dragging on over there. So many different things going on. We have to be understanding that we're living in the end of the end times. Things are wrapping up. The world is rocking and reeling, and not just geopolitically. We're looking at earthquakes, seismic activity, weather phenomena, volcanoes, all kinds of things that are just ramping up and getting more and more intense as the time of the Lord comes. And we're expecting now the rise of the Antichrist and many other things that are happening all at the same time. So we have to be aware of the things that are happening. And what we're saying is be prepared. Don't be afraid, but trust in God, because no weapon formed against you, it says in Isaiah 54, shall succeed. So we are trusting in God that these weapons of darkness are not going to succeed against the servants of the living God.
Troy, oftentimes in church life, we'll be encouraged to grow in our faith, to mature, to have the fruit of the Spirit at work in our lives, and we've got an idea of transformation. When we're talking about a military way of thinking about our life, the preparation for knowing what your assignment is, is this word assignment, is this important when it comes to thinking about how we actually participate in God's greater mission?
Well, yeah, if you think back when you're younger and you're trying to figure out what your career is going to be, you know, what's your direction in life? And of course, you know, God has a plan for our lives, but, you know, as many of us know, as you get older, you might try to go your own direction, right? And if you do that, you know, ultimately, if you ask God, he'll steer you back on the right path eventually. But you can think about all those years you went in the wrong direction. So it's very important when you're young to pray and ask the Lord to guide you, show you what he has for your life. And oftentimes, he'll speak to different people to you, a teacher, a mentor, a parent, because they understand the different, you know, gifts and talents you have, and that can help guide you. Like, I remember I was in college. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And then one day my dad just said, why don't you become a journalist? I think you'd be good at that. And I thought, hey, he's probably right. Because I remember I wrote these stories when I was a little kid. And in fact, I interviewed Nick Reynolds of the Kingston Trio. And I interviewed him for like 2.5 hours. He told my dad afterward, you know, your son really grilled me. And so I think my dad probably remembered that and thought, he likes to interview people. And so that helped, you know, me become a journalist for the last 3 decades. So there's little things like that God sort of uses to guide you. And we're all different, you know. And so that, I think that's the key, is just to seek the Lord, ask him for guidance. And then if you're older, you know, many people could be, you know, getting to retirement age, and then you can start your own ministry, or you could go into ministry or become a missionary. I mean, there's so many different possibilities, and there's so many ways. If you just sort of sign up for God's army, he'll put you to work. That's been my experience.
So you find out what your giftings are, and that's probably a good clue as to what God has got prepared for you in taking your place in the wider mission. And I'm always inspired by those words that Jesus used in John chapter 20. Jesus said, just as I have been sent, so send I you. And there's something there. I guess we all receive that admonition, that encouragement to be able to be sent according to his mission. David, you're renowned as a real-world storyteller. Is your book full of a bunch of stories of people, how they've been able to work through the issues and work out where they fit in their assignment?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, every chapter is my story in combat or in training, and how it relates to today's end times and our assignment. And so, yeah, I have many of these stories where, you know, I was on an airplane, the C-17 jet, flying to Qatar, to Afghanistan, and the engine caught fire. And, you know, everybody started panicking. But, you know, during that, I just knew that God, you know, we're not going to be taken from this planet, on this earth, until our assignment is over. So I just trust at that point that God was going to see us through. He did. And, you know, And the book is full of stories, of true life stories, not just me, but General Patton, Civil War stories, all kinds of different stories. And it shows, you know, and maybe people are asking, what is my assignment? Well, it's in your DNA. You know, God has given us passion. He has given us desires. He's given us certain qualities and things that that he brings out. If we'll just trust him and listen to him, it's just a wonderful experience. And so all these stories relate to, I was even an assignments officer in the Pentagon for 4 years. And so that's one of the reasons we wrote the book, is I was very, I looked at everybody and their DNA and the chaplains around the world, and I put them in assignments that would fit their personality, their training, their quality. And that's what God does in our lives, Neil. He looks at us, he's made us, he knows us better than ourselves, and he puts us in places that, you know, really that we will excel if we'll just trust him and allow him to do that.
Well, I wish we'd had more time to talk, but there might be listeners who are interested in hearing this conversation again. You'll be able to get it on a podcast later this afternoon. But there's some earlier conversations that I've had with David and with Troy, and where they've gone into some more detail around some of these issues of a military-style approach to our Christian faith. And so I want to tell listeners how they can get a hold of your latest book, but for U.S. Army Chaplain Colonel David Giamona and to Troy Anderson, a Pulitzer Prize-nominated investigative journalist, let me give some websites here. And for listeners who want to get a hold of the book is called, the latest one, Your Mission in God's Army, Discovering and Completing Your Faith-Filled Assignment Before Christ's Return. A number of websites, one called battleready.org, battleready.org. You can connect with David at davidjgiamona.com. That's spelled G-I-A-M-M-O-N-A, davidjgiamona.com. And Troy Anderson at troyanderson.us. Troy co-wrote the best-selling Babylon Code and Trumpocalypse. David and Troy co-wrote The Military Guide to Disarming Deception and The Military Guide to Armageddon. So that latest book, though, the one you might like to keep an eye out for, Your Mission in God's Army, Discovering and Completing Your Faith-Filled Assignment Before Christ's Return. David, thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts with us today on 2020.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to be with you again.
And Troy, wonderful to hear from you too. Thank you so much for sharing those thoughts.
Yeah, great to talk with you, Neil. God bless you and your audience.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.